is slashing?
Slashing is, like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, there's a penalty for that?
Yeah. And for a trip also, you know, like that. And for hook, like this. And for spear, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get free.
Welcome once more, everyone, to the Drop Podcast, the podcast dedicated to the St. Louis Blues. I'm your host, Lance Descott, and today's episode will be our last of the season. Now, we will have some episodes possibly around the draft time and also the preseason, but for a while now, this will be our last episode. Today's episode, we will have a recap of the Blues. We'll go into a little bit about the season, the playoffs, who could be back next year for the 2016-2017 season, possible trades, possible assistant coaches, so on and so forth. So let's get right into it. The Blues, when they started the season, had high expectations. Everybody thought that this was their year. It seemed like a different team from the beginning. They didn't seem to give up as easily as they had in the past and tend to get behind in some games because of their lack of effort. This team looked a little bit different, and I think they really gelled towards the end of the season. They started out the month of October. Their first game of the season was Thursday, October 8th against the Oilers, and the Blues won that 3-1. They would go on to win 8 games in October, and they would lose 3 games, one to Minnesota, one to Montreal, and one to the Rangers. In November, the Blues had some issues. They weren't winning as much, but they still looked pretty good. They won big games against Chicago in OT. They beat up Nashville pretty good. They shut out the Devils. They lost to Detroit in OT. But still, they didn't look too bad. You know, they did have some decent wins. Like I said, they beat Chicago in that month. And overall, they had 6 wins in the month of November. In December, the Blues continued to look pretty good. They did lose to Toronto and Florida at the time that was playing really well. They lost to Philadelphia, which at that time was not playing great at all. So the Blues had a so-so December and January. They started coming around really, really well, I would say, even in their losses. I would say sometime in the end of February, 1st of March. Starting out in March, they were able to beat the Ottawa Senators in overtime. They beat Chicago 3-2, which was a great win. They beat Anaheim, which at that time had just started to really play well and become a cohesive group, 5-2. They'd beaten Dallas 5-4, who they'd eventually go on and beat in the second round of the playoffs. They did lose some bad games to Calgary and to Edmonton when they actually did look like they were standing around, but they were able to beat San Jose, and that was a 1-0 game, and that was in San Jose, who they would later lose to in the third round. So they didn't look too bad then. To finish out April, the Blues had 3 wins and 2 losses. The 2 losses came against Boston, where they lost 6-5 on April 1st. And the last game of the season, April 9th, where they lost 5-1 to TJ Oshie, Ovechkin, and Holtby in the Washington Capitals. The bright spot of the month, of course, was their OT win, 2-1 against Chicago. And it really, really wasn't even that close. The Blues really outplayed Chicago. So the Blues go into the playoffs with the second best record in the conference, looking to be able to beat the Blackhawks in the first round, and they were able to do it. They had them down 3-1, and it took 7 games to beat Chicago, but they beat Chicago 4-3. I think the fact the Blues did not close them out and beat them in 5 games had a lot to do with how tired they looked in the series against San Jose. You take away those 2 games, and those are 2 physical games against Chicago. That's a lot of wear and tear on these players that wouldn't have been showing up in the Western Conference Finals. They played Dallas, and then they won 4-3 in that, so 2 7-game hard-fought series against 2 of the best teams in the Western Conference. And you thought the Blues might have an easier time with San Jose. When they went into the series with San Jose, all I heard about from NBC announcers was the Blues have not faced a team like San Jose. They have not faced a team as good as San Jose. Excuse me, honestly, I'm sorry, San Jose fans, but the Chicago Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars are much better teams than your team. I said it on my playoff preview against San Jose. The key to the San Jose Sharks was stopping Burns. If they could stop Burns from getting goals, stop Burns from putting the puck close to the net for deflections by Pavelski and by rebounds by Thornton, they would be fine. Well, guess what? They didn't do that in most of the games. I think game one was the only one where they really did a good job against Burns. The rest of the games, they didn't really focus on any players. It didn't look like they were focusing on stopping anyone, unlike the Dallas series where they were focused on stopping Jamie Benn, Patrick Sharp, and a few of the other Dallas players, which they did a pretty good job against Jamie Benn. And in the first round against Chicago, they did a great job against Hossa, Taves, and Jonathan, and Patrick Kane. They did an awesome job against those guys, and they just didn't have the same flair, the same energy, and it didn't look like the same team. And they fell apart just like they did in every other playoff series for the last several years. People are very upset with me because I'm not all hurrah, hurrah, they made it to the Western Conference Finals. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth at all. I'm very proud of the Blues for making it to the Western Conference Finals. They beat two very tough teams to get there. They exercised some of their demons against losing in the first round, which was great. But to me, they lost in the third round in very similar fashion as they had in previous years in the first round. You may ask, well, how can you say that? Well, here's how I say that. I'm going to give you two examples. They were up 2-0 several years ago. I believe that was 2011 or 2012. I might be mistaken. Against the LA Kings. Everything's looking good for the Blues. They tanked and lost 4 games in a row. And if you go back and watch that film, a lot of the standing around, a lot of the watching, a lot of just allowing shot after shot after shot on the goalies, it wore the goalies down. It really did. And the Blues lost 4 straight to the Kings. So that stopped that year. Then in 2014, I believe it was, and I might be wrong again, I get some of my years mixed up, they played Chicago. They won the first 2 games at home on some great, great goals. Steen played well in that series. You saw the emergence of Tarasenko in that series. They went up 2-0. Then what did they do? They lost 4 games in a row, which those 4 games, they looked a lot like they did in the San Jose Sharks series. They are world beaters this year. They beat the Blackhawks in 7 games, which it should have been 5. They beat the Stars in 7 games. They could have shortened that series to 6, but I'll just give them that one. They played hard, and they did beat them in 7. They get to San Jose. Yeah, they're tired, but you know everybody, oh, they were just so tired. And well, you know what? You think San Jose wasn't tired? Yeah, they played 2 less games in the playoffs. When the Blues got to that round, they had played 14 games. San Jose played 12, and that did make a little bit of a difference, but give me a break. At this time of the year, everybody's tired. Everybody's gassed. Everybody. And I'm sorry, San Jose Shark fans, but the better team did not win this series. The team that played the hardest won the series, but the better team did not win the series. So now the Sharks are in the Stanley Cup, and that's great for them. But the Blues should honestly have been there. It comes down to this. Every year, whether they lose in the first round or whether this year in the third round, the round that they lose in, it's the way they go out. It's the lack of effort. I congratulate them on making it to the third round. That's awesome. I'm a Blues fan like the rest of you. But I'm unbiased here. I'm not a media person that buys into everything, you know, and just all everything sweet and hunky-dory. And like most of the media in St. Louis and most of the fans, great job, guys. And I will say that. Great job, Backus. Great job, Elliot. Great job, Ken Hitchcock. You guys did great this year in the playoffs. But when it come down to crunch time, you didn't have it against a San Jose team who is not as good as you. So what do the Blues do? They re-sign Ken Hitchcock, which makes zero sense at all to me. You're going to have some player turnover this year. You're going to have a lot of players after 2017 that are going to be gone. Alex Steen's contract's up. Jake Allen's contract's up. Brian Elliott's contract's up. So instead of hiring a coach that comes in and gets to know his players, to know what he has before these guys leave next year, before they resign him, they hire a lame duck coach in Ken Hitchcock. Could they have done worse? Yeah, they could have done a lot worse. Could they went and hired a coach and really stunk this year? Yeah. But who says they're going to win the Stanley Cup this year? Which all the fans on Twitter, all the fans on Facebook are tearing me up for, because they're all, oh, it's in the bag next year. It's in the bag next year. We've got the Stanley Cup. Guys, how many years have we been saying that? And even though with the 6 years here, you know, Ken Hitchcock going into a 6 year, every year at the year-ending press conference, what does he say? Go back and watch all the press conferences, folks. What will he say? I'll tell you what he'll say. Well, we're a little slow, guys. We need to get faster, and we're going to make those adjustments, and we're going to be faster. So it takes 5-6 years to become faster. And I keep hearing everybody, oh, you know, you got to give him more time, more time, more time, more time. You know, in most other sports and in most other teams in the NHL, Ken Hitchcock would have been gone after 3 years. Three straight, you know, first round exits, maybe even two. So don't tell me that, you know, the Blues are doing everything they can to win. Now they're talking about bringing in some ex-head coaches, a couple from the Minnesota Wild, who have, and one of them used to be a coach in Yale, and that he may come in and be an assistant and then take over the team next year. That's a good plan to me. If that's what they intend to do, that's great. Because then at least, like I said earlier, the head coach going into next year will know at least what he has and what he has to do, who he has to re-sign after the 2016-2017 season. If that's what the Blues are thinking, that's great. However, if they hire these coaches and none of them return next year, this is going to be a lost season. Do I think the Blues have the players to win the Stanley Cup if they make the right decisions in the offseason? One of those decisions will be David Backes. And I certainly hope that Armstrong does not pull Laterra and pay way too much money for a player than he's worth. David Backes is 32 years old. He's played, I believe, 10 years in the NHL, and he's played a hard 10 years in the NHL. He does not have the body of a 32-year-old Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky wasn't a physical player. He does not have the body of a scorer who does not scrap that much, does not hit, does not take the hits and forechecks and in front of the net as much as, you know, David Backes does. Those kind of scorers can play till they're 37, 38 years old. Let's face it, folks. We love David Backes. You know, he played great in this year's playoffs. What was that I said? This year's playoffs. Has he played well in any other playoffs? No. So stop acting, NBC Sports, St. Louis Blues fans, that this man is clutching the playoffs. This is the first year. And I'll say he played awesome. If it wasn't for him and Elliott, these Blues would not have gotten out of the first round. I give him a huge, huge pat on the back. He deserves anything he gets in the free agent market. I fully agree with that. He's going to be seeking $6 to $7 million a year. He's going to want a 4 to 5 year contract. And if the Blues give him that and Armstrong plays on emotion and gives him that, he's an idiot. David Backes back for 2 years at 5 to 6. I'll fully agree with that. But he's 32 years old. And we've all seen how Bouwmeester, who we got 2-3 years ago, was pretty fast for a big guy as a defenseman. And he plays a pretty physical game too. Look at how slow he was this year. His decline happened in just a year, year and a half. And David Backes in 2 years, after two more seasons, will not be the player he is now. He's lost a lot of his speed that he had in his mid to early 20s. Is he great in the locker room? Yes. He's awesome in the locker room. Is he a great part of the community? Yes, he is. He's awesome for the St. Louis community. Is he worth $6 to $7 million for 4 to 5 years from the St. Louis Blues? No, he's not. A lot of you fans are probably going to be screaming at your iPods, at your computers, at your Samsung devices, Android devices, yelling at me, telling me how wrong I am about Backes. Don't take it the wrong way, people. I'm looking at it as a decision that could hurt or help the Blues 4 or 5 years down the road. 3 years down the road, do you want a David Backes that's great in the locker room, but he plays 53 out of 80 games because of injuries? He's slow, can't be as physical. Do you want that kind of David Backes 4 years down the road, 5 years down the road, and say, oh, well, it was David Backes. He retired as the Blue. That would be fine at the right price, but it ain't going to happen. He's not going to resign for $4 to $4.5 million. Some other team is going to give him $6 to $7 million. And that's all I'm going to say about that. David Backes, I love you. You know, you're great. One time I met you coming out of that elevator up by the club seats. Very nice person. Very great for the community. You know, I wish you the best. I wish you could re-sign for the Blues. But I just don't think it's in the Blues' best interest for more than 2 years at maybe $5 to $6 million. I wish you the best, though. Next subject. Mr. Shattenkirk, who shat all over the playoffs, needs to be gone. He played terrible against San Jose, okay against Chicago, and okay against Dallas. But he needs to be gone. We need to get some team to take him in a trade and, you know, get something in return, you know, a centerman that's at least decent. I would love this, and I know I've got a huge wish list, and I'm not going to get it. I know there's a 99.9% chance I'm not getting this wish list just because of Armstrong, and I know how Armstrong thinks. I would like to see Shattenkirk's contract gone, sign somebody or trade for somebody who's got a contract for $4 or $5 million less, $3 million, somebody that can be productive, be maybe second line player, third line player, probably second line, and not sign Backes and go after Stamkos. Whoa, I hear people yelling, Stamkos, Stamkos this, he's selfish, he's that, he's this. Stamkos is a beast. I would much rather pay Stamkos what he's going to want, which is going to be around $9.5 to $11 million for 4 or 5 years, than I would pay David Backes $6 to $7 million for 4 or 5 years. Sorry, folks, that's the way it is. That's the way hockey is. You're a basher, you're a banger, you start losing it, and David Backes showed up in the playoffs, but my goodness, folks, it's a contract year. I would love to have Stamkos. Is that going to happen? I don't think so. Are the Blues going to be able to get Bouwmeester to be able to, you know, lower his salary, which he doesn't have to? Are they going to be able to get rid of him? I doubt it very seriously. If they release him, the Blues are going to pay him, I believe, and I might be wrong, somewhere between $1.8 and $2 million a year for the next, I think, 6 to 8 years. And you can't do that on a player like that. But something needs to be done about him. And one of those teams that I was talking about Shattenkirk maybe trading with, the Edmonton Oilers. Well, all the Blues fans are saying, Edmonton's not going to do that. Why would they do that? Well, I'm going to tell you why they wouldn't do that, or why they would do that. They've had great top draft picks for 10 years now. All of them in the top 10, I believe, since 2009. Or 2010. What great players have they come up with? Connor McDavid. Yes, you're right. The rest of them, you know, you've not heard much from them. You know, they've had a number one, number three, number seven, number one, number one, number one, number 10, number six, since 2007. Those are their drafts. And guess who one of them was, number 10? That's right, Blues fans. The famous Magnus Pajärvi, the St. Louis Blues player, who, you know, if people are counting on him to come through for the Blues, they're nuts. Magnus Pajärvi is what he is. He's a guy that will play decent for 2, 3, 4 games and then suck up the joint for 15 games. So don't count on him. Edmonton drafts the same type of player every year. That's why they traded the Blues to get Perron. That's why Perron went there. We need a guy fast, a guy who can go up and down and score. We need a guy that can do this. They pick the same player every year. Hey, Edmonton fans, how about you do something different for once? You trade one of your draft picks for a decent defenseman. I doubt Edmonton will take Shattenkirk for their pick this year, I believe is number 4. But hey, what have they got to lose? What have they done over the last several years? They haven't made the playoffs, I believe, since 2005-06 season. You can check that yourself, so I may be wrong, but I'm pretty positive that was the last year they make the playoffs. What good are these draft picks doing them? They're picking the same player. Somebody in the Edmonton Oilers management offices, their general manager, their head coach, need to get together and say, we need a good defenseman. They need to contact the Blues and say, hey, we'll give you our number four for Shattenkirk and maybe another player or two, which I would have no problem with. You know, all these people, oh, we can't get you rid of Ty Ratty. Ty Ratty is one of those untradeable players. Bull crap. If Edmonton wants Shattenkirk and Ty Ratty, goodbye, Mr. Ratty. I will see you. Have a good time at Edmonton. Edmonton can contact Shattenkirk's agent, make sure that they can sign a long-term deal if they trade for him, and we're done. That's my wish list. If they can't, you know, if the Blues can do that and not sign Backus and Shattenkirk's gone and they get a number four pick where they can go out and maybe get Tkachuk or another player that might be either ready now or almost ready halfway through the season or could impress in the preseason, do it. Don't sit back, because I'm afraid to tell you this, folks, that unless the Blues have a good coach for the 2017-2018 season and they can figure out how to re-sign all these players that are due new contracts. And I'll tell you whose contract is up in 2017. Let's go through this. We're not talking about this year. Alexander Steen. And of course, we know Shattenkirk. Berglund. Brian Elliott. We've also got Jake Allen. We've also got Bertuzzo. We've also got Peter Lindbom. We've got Colton Pareko. That's a lot of guys. You know, Lindbom hasn't really played that much, you know, and they could probably do without him. I think he's okay. Is he great? No, I don't think so. But he's okay, but he's only 22 years old. He could grow into a good defensive role, but right now he's not there. And the Blues need to really think about this before they do this. You know, let me check this real quick because I don't want to lie to people. Yep, I'm right. Edmonton Oilers have not been in the postseason since the 2005-2006 season. They've had all these draft picks, and what has it done for them? It's done nothing for them. Zero, zilch. I am not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, people. I love the Blues. I was a season ticket holder for 5 years and not in the cheap seats, which I'm not saying makes you less of a season ticket holder. I paid a lot of money for my club seats for 3 or 4 years. And then I had tickets up top in the mezzanine for 3 years. I'm a Blues fan. But I'm also somebody who looks at this team and can see what's wrong and what's right with it. All you people on there counting on a Stanley Cup for the 2016-2017 season, wake up. Better wake up quick. Because only 6 out of 15 teams from the Western Conference who have made the Western Conference Finals the previous year have went on the next year to win the Stanley Cup. Those positive people will say, hey, that's around 40%. The Blues got a 4 out of 10 chance of winning the Stanley Cup next year. That's 40%, people. Yeah, that's better than 20%. A lot of people would have taken those odds at the beginning of this year. Heck, I would have taken those odds. But it's time for this team to stop the next year, next year, next year. We're going to do it next year. Hey, guys, how about we'll do it next year? Come on, guys, let's do it next year. You guys want to do it next year? Yeah, yeah, next year. Then they lose. And like I said earlier, it's not the way they lose. It's not the fact they lose in the playoffs. Only one team wins a Stanley Cup, people. Only one team out of all the teams, out of the 16 playoff teams, one team wins it. There's 15 losers every year. So look at it that way instead of looking into the 6 out of 15 that have made it and won the Stanley Cup from the Western Conference who lost the previous year. Think about that. Are those good odds? Can you honestly sit here and tell me you are definite for sure that the Blues are going to win the Stanley Cup in 2016-2017? 1 out of 16 odds? That's hard, folks. I want them to. With my heart, I want them to. I've been a fan since 1976. I've watched the ups and downs. I've watched all the owners come and go. I've watched all the coaches come and go. You know, and it's the same thing a lot of times. And by the way, Blues, stop depending on your goaltender to win every year for you. Yes, you need a hot goaltender in the playoffs. But look at Jones. Are you trying to tell me Jones for the San Jose or even Murray is better than Brian Elliott? No, I don't think so. Are they good? Yeah, they're good goalies. Are they great goalies? No. What you need to win in the playoffs is a hot goalie, a good goalie. There's many teams that have won with a, you know, it let's get some actual defense that can play. And Pietrangelo, you sucked this year. You played about $2.5 to $3 million worth of your contract. You need to step it up, young man. You need to play much better than you have. Because when you're out there with Bo Meester, in the regular season especially, you cost us some games. Did you play a little bit better in the playoffs? Yes, you did. You went from bad to good. Were you great in the playoffs? No. And I hear all these people saying Pietrangelo should be the MVP of the season. Guys, come on. Seriously. Let's get with it. I hope everybody enjoyed all of the drop podcast for the St. Louis Blues this year. It was a pleasure doing them with you. I will be back next year, regardless win, lose, whatever coach is here. If Hitchcock gets, you know, is gone halfway through the season, if he's gone after next year, I will be here. I will be unbiased. And I hope all you people do. Stop looking into the clouds and thinking that we're guaranteed a Stanley Cup playoffs. Those fans that think that do not know hockey. So come on, guys. Look at the facts. Look at the stats. Look at what's going to happen here. Who does Ken Hitchcock answer to? No one. It's his last year. What does he have to lose? Nothing. Well, some of you just say, well, he has nothing to lose, so that means he's going to coach great. I hope so, Ken. I hope so that he pulls a rabbit out of his hat and the Blues win the Stanley Cup. If that happens, I will be the first person in line on the 2017 ending season podcast of the Drop Podcast to say I was wrong. Prove me wrong, Ken Hitchcock. Prove me wrong, Mr. Armstrong. Show me you guys know what you're doing. And if you play next year and you're out in the first round, but you play your butts off, or you're out in the second round and you play your butts off, or the third round, I won't be disappointed. But please play like you know how to play. That's all I'm going to say, people. I hope you enjoyed this last episode of the Drop Podcast. I will see you again next year. Sayonara, goodbye, good night. Don't follow us on Twitter at @OfficialTheDrop. You can email us at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedroppodcast. Don't forget to look for our episode after the Blues draft. We'll make a short episode and comment on that. We will have a preseason special for the 2016-2017 season. Again, I can't thank everyone enough for downloading these podcasts off of iTunes, Stitcher, and also on Shout Engine. You guys have been awesome to me. Great response, great downloads. And let's look forward to next year, but let's be a little wary of what to expect. Let's really put our minds here and think about what's going to happen next year. Hopefully, I can come back with a season-ending show in 2016-2017 and say, I was wrong, the Blues won the Cup. That would be awesome. Good night, goodbye, have a great summer. Oh, and also, if you like the Cardinals, I also have a podcast called Cardinals Radio. You can find that on Stitcher, shoutengine.com and iTunes. And you can also follow that on Twitter at the STL Cards Radio. Thank you again, everybody. My name's Ben Lance. This has been the Drop Podcast. Good night and goodbye.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees, they travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside, it's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. third period. Last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink. And the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good.